First up today, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is in town this morning, drumming up interest in Obamacare. Joining me now to talk about the new program and ongoing efforts to connect people to it is Dr. Bridget McCandless. She is president and CEO of the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City. And Bridget, so good to have you.
Thank you for having me today.
There's been not much news of Secretary Sebelius' visit to Kansas City today. Bridget, what is she doing here in town?
Well, the secretary was here certainly to continue encouraging people to look at their options for the insurance marketplace and also to talk about how things are going in Kansas City. We have been working through the Healthcare Foundation with a network of nonprofits to help people understand what their affordable health insurance options are through the insurance marketplace.
Well, just the latest numbers I saw, she's obviously encouraging people to enroll. The latest figures I'm seeing, about 14,000 Kansans enrolled of the 38,000 who are eligible. In Missouri, 33,000 people had enrolled of 94,000 folks who are eligible. What do you make of those numbers?
So those are just the people who are eligible for the Kansas City area. We think there's 250,000 people who are uninsured in Kansas City. And we know that this is a journey. It's not, you're not buying just a simple toaster. You're having to invest in what you think is going to be the best option for insurance. So it doesn't surprise me at all that people have been a little bit slow to investigate their options. But I do see that there's a lot of movement on that, and people are really willing to look at what fits their family and what fits their budget.
You're saying there's 250,000 folks just in Kansas City alone who aren't covered?
Yes, that many people who are uninsured. Now, a portion of those are people who would be able to purchase on the insurance marketplace, and a portion of those are people who will not because they will fall into what we call this Medicaid gap, meaning people who are too poor to qualify for the subsidies but don't have enough money to be able to purchase on the exchange. And so that group of people who are below 100% of the federal poverty level aren't eligible for any of this expansion.
And this is Medicaid expansion we're talking about. That's such a hot issue in both Topeka and in Jefferson City, right?
Yes. And Missouri has been a little slow to look at this, as has Kansas. 26 other states have chosen to expand Medicaid. And that means that people who are working are able to get health insurance, even though they may not make much money. That Medicaid expansion was designed to be able to take care of them. But the Supreme Court left that up to each state to decide. And so far, Missouri and Kansas have not chosen to do that. That does mean that we are foregoing a lot of federal dollars that would be coming into the states. Just to give you a for instance, Missouri is giving up $5 million of federal funds every day.
A day.
Every day. In Kansas, $1.5 million every day by not accepting the expansion dollars from the federal government.
Okay, and again, that expansion, it's 100% coverage. Now there's 2 years left in that 100% coverage sort of arena, and then coverage drops off to like 90% for a number of years, and that's what's being debated in both state capitals right now, right?
Correct. And when you say coverage, that's those expanded patients would be covered by the federal government without any state dollars invested. So for those first 2 years, the federal government pays for all of it. And then after that, it tapers down to 90%. A lot of states have put in language in their legislation saying that if federal dollars drop off or if the federal government makes the states pay more, that then the states could reevaluate their options in participating. And certainly, I think Missouri and Kansas both would be looking at those as options.
So half the states, you said 26 of the 50 states now have expanded their Medicaid. What do you see happening in the capitals this year? Again, a very hot issue in Jefferson City and in Topeka. The president of the state Senate in Topeka has said, we're not doing it this year. Forget the conversation. We're not going there. What do you see happening in Missouri?
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of people who are looking at the way states have built their Medicaid expansion. This is a time when the federal government has been much more amenable to different options for Medicaid. For example, Arkansas and Iowa designed systems where the patients actually are in a private system but paid for with state and federal dollars. So they have just commercial insurance as opposed to being on the traditional Medicaid. And I think there are a lot of different options that have been floated by states. So this is a time of great creativity. And Missouri and Kansas both have the option to design design programs that work well for their states.
Do you see that kind of conversation happening in Jefferson City right now, Bridget? Are they looking at these options, which I guess they're also called waivers in the federal government parlance there? What do you see happening?
Well, I have seen a lot more interest in the different types of options that are available to states. One option that is not available is only including a few people in the Medicaid expansion. HHS has been very clear that you either expand to 138% of federal poverty level or you're not able to accept the federal dollars. So that part is not optional. But I do see more states looking at ways or the legislators asking very good questions about ways to design it so it works well for our states. And that's some good movement on the Missouri side. I'm hopeful that more conversation will lead to perhaps legislation that is able to take care of what the some folks want in reform, as well as to be able to expand to a greater number of people.
Now, the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City, the organization that you head, Bridget, is launching a new program. It's called Cover KC. What is that? What are you trying to do?
So Cover KC is a public-private partnership to help those who are eligible for health insurance through this new new marketplace. And it is targeted outreach. So we've really tried to look at people who have who are likely not to be insured and go and have conversations with them, either door-to-door or by phone. There are mail pieces. And then there's also an online effort to direct people to coverkc.org, which is the website that can help connect them directly with a navigator or connect them with the healthcare marketplace so that they could enroll over the computer.
So this is a person-by-person sort of strategy to get people to enroll in the new federal healthcare program.
Correct. So blanket marketing, so large advertising campaigns, make people aware of it, but they don't call them to do anything about it. By doing it with very targeted outreach, we know that we're reaching the people who are likely to benefit the most, and we're asking what it is that they need to be able to take the next steps to be able to enroll. And so we're hoping that this targeted version is a very customer-friendly way to help people understand what their affordable options are to get the best care.
What kind of expectation do you have for how this is going to shake out?
Well, you know, this is, like I said earlier, this is a journey. And so sometimes it takes multiple contacts to get people to make the next step, which is parting with their money. Part of it is understanding, helping people know how to use insurance who've maybe never had it before. And insurance can be complicated. There may be terms that they're not familiar with, like deductible and copay and coinsurance and networks.
So you guys are actually sitting down with these people and sort of helping them understand this, maybe even helping them enroll if it comes down to that?
So our door-to-door campaign is a way to reach out and let people know that these are the options available to them, and then encouraging them and partnering with local nonprofits who can do direct one-on-one help. Some people don't need that. All they need is encouragement to go to the website. The website is so easy to use. It is so much better than what you heard about in October when we had the really disastrous rollout. The latest data is it takes about 30 to 45 minutes for a person to go from beginning to end to where they've entered all of their information and have been approved for a product.
Do you think it's still possible, Bridget, that at some point this program, Obamacare, could be judged a success because the rollout obviously has been so arduous?
You know, we are at a place that's different than anything I've seen in my career. So I've practiced medicine for 25 years, and I think that we have the opportunity to build a healthcare system that works for everyone, and that's a very different place than we've been. My past has been that I've done poverty medicine, and so for the last 15 years, the only people I take care of are people who are uninsured, and that puts a lot of strain on the system.
Yeah.
And I know that we have the chance now to really design something that works for not just people who have employer-based healthcare, but people who have individual policies, Medicaid, and I think you're going to see a rewrite of the way that we practice medicine, and that can be really helpful.
You know, to what extent, you know, the rollout has been so marred by the problems with the website and everything else. To what extent have the enrollment bugs sort of been worked out of this thing? What are you hearing just anecdotally from folks who want to enroll? What kind of experience are they having right now?
So I've been fortunate enough to work with a number of people who are trying to enroll, and the process has gotten much, much better. The front-end issues with enrolling were difficult. Those seem to have been worked out. It also appears that the payment part, where you match up the person's sign-up with the actual insurance company, that payment is now going through well. You're going to see that people who are having troubles, they're in the process of working out a better system to be able to allow them to make changes on the back end if they change their mind. And so that's still a work in progress. But, you know, healthcare didn't get designed in 9 months. So it's going to take us years to work out some of these bugs, but people need to focus on what that long-term solution looks like and really be creative about how we get there. And I am incredibly encouraged that we are going to see a much better healthcare system on the back end of this.
Just this weekend, the House Majority Leader, Eric Cantor from Virginia, was out publicly on one of the Sunday morning talk shows saying that Obamacare is on its last legs. It's fading fast. And you say what to that?
I say 9 million people have already signed up for care. I'll say 3 million of the people who are under age 26 have been able to stay on their parents' health care insurance. So that may be a political soundbite, but the reality is people recognize that they need to be well, and they recognize that health insurance is something that protects them, and they're willing to go out and do the work to get it.
So the takeaway here today is if someone comes to your front door and knocks on it the next few weeks, it could be somebody from the foundation or another nonprofit trying to get you, encourage folks to enroll in the new healthcare plan.
Yes, and they'll have a sticker that says Healthcare Foundation, so you'd be able to recognize them. They're not collecting personal information, but what they're doing is try to help you connect with someone who can help you or give you directions to get into the website so that that can help you enroll.
Well, Dr. Bridget McCandless, she is president and CEO of the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City. So good to have you, Bridget. Thanks for the update. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.